Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah.
Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me from afar in another country is producer slash husband slash roommate Norm Sousa. Norm, you're not here.
No. I'm in another country far, far away, right next door in Canada.
are you devastated without me?
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm walking into doors. I don't even know how to tie my shoes. I'm a mess. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a complete shambles.
Norm, we'll keep this intro quick because I know you got places to go, things to do. But you are currently in Toronto. You are not here. You're in Toronto. You've been gone for a couple days. You're going to be gone for a few more.
Mm-hmm.
How's it feel to finally take a trip to yourself?
You know, I decided to take a little quick trip to see some pals because it's been a long time and really having a blast. Maybe having too much fun, staying up too late. But honestly, it's been nice to come back and see pals and have fun. I'm going to a bunch of sporting events. I mean, I'm seeing the Raptors playoff game. And what else am I doing? I'm going to a hockey game. I went to a baseball game. Oh, my God. I'm having a blast.
You told me you always wanted to go to a Raptors playoff game. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Had you already?
No, I don't think I'd been to a playoff game. No, this will be the first.
So this is it. Oh, my God, Norm. Is life better without me?
No, it's not, of course. What are you talking about?
I think it is. I've been a drag in this house. You should see me moping around, painting pictures of you, putting them all over the place.
Wait, you're painting pictures of me and putting it.
I took up painting while you were gone.
Oh no!
Listen, the dog really misses you. I think it's great that you took this self-care trip. I think you really needed it, and I'm really proud of you for going because there's a million excuses to make up to stay here. Because traveling's annoying now.
There's a million excuses. Yeah,
and
it really is.
I'm proud of you. You did it. You did exactly what you needed to do.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm really. Have we mentioned this on the podcast at all? Me going back home? No, we didn't. This is just sometimes what we talk about in real life and what we talk about in the podcast gets mixed together.
I never know. Yeah. I truly never know. Well, listen, Norm, I won't keep you. We'll get right to it. It was a very fun episode today.
Who's the guest?
Old pal of mine. It's, well, I'll tell you in a second. Old pal of mine. And one of the first teams I was on at UCB, he was a writer on. So we met a long time ago. And I'm so glad we got to catch up. So please help me welcome Jordan Morris right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Jordan, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. How are you doing, you little ray of sunshine? Look at this smile.
I'm doing great. always love being invited to a party.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's one of the hotter ones on a Monday.
Yeah.
One of the hotter parties. I don't know if you had a couple other invites on the table and then you had to like choose, but whatever the case was, you made the right choice.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a couple of different stops today, so I might like peace out after like 20. I'm just going to like see who's here, have a drink,
cool.
And I might like Irish goodbye after, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But I had
so much fun. It's just me and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So the Irish goodbye is probably going to go noticed.
Well, I can throw a tennis ball to distract the dog, but
I can distract her for a bit, but you got to get out of here and fast.
Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom.
Jordan, thank you so much for joining me. I'd like to start this podcast off with a self-esteem party check-in.
Mm-hmm.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem, self-love, what have you, where are you at?
Well, Alana, you are getting me at a really... really juicy time in terms of self-reflection.
Do tell.
Turning 40 in a couple of weeks. The big 40. Dirty 40, flirty 40. Are we ascribing
flirty.
A flirty? Okay.
I don't know about dirty, Jordan. That's really setting you up for a rough year.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't need any of that. I mean, listen, especially.
I don't know how you're going to shake that. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to shake that bad rap.
Yeah. Let's go with flirty. It's going to be a flirty 40. Let's go 40. With flirty. Everyone loves a flirty 40-year-old.
Everybody loves it.
You know, it's. I mean, birthdays in general, time for reflection, but obviously this is a big one. It's like so, like very, very clearly, you know, nobody's saying this ain't a grown up because it is.
Go. Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of like taking stock, you know, looking back on my life, all of that. And I think at this moment, I think I'm a solid seven. I think I'm a solid seven and I'm happy to be here.
Okay.
Happy to be at a seven.
We gotta get into this.
Yeah.
Because
is seven
I gotta
a popular
know,
answer? Do people say seven a lot?
Here's the thing. Actually, not recently. I've been getting more like maybe a five, like a neutral, or okay. like an eight.
Okay.
Like I'm catching people where they're feeling it,
yeah.
or kind of coming out of some muck type mm-hmm. thing. So right. you're like, yeah, everything's fine. Nothing to really phone home about. I feel like that's where I'm catching people lately.
Interesting.
So this seven is very interesting because you said you're in a state of self-reflection, which right. I agree around all birthdays is the case. And I would say especially 40 because that's so in the media, like
yeah.
what the midlife crisis, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you make jokes about 40-year-olds,
yeah,
aches
exactly.
and pains. I can't stay out anymore.
Exactly. So here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I want to know. What are you most looking forward to turning 40 about? Like, what are you most looking forward to? That you're like, I'm glad I'm turning 40 because that means...
Oh, interesting. That is an interesting yeah. question.
Isn't it a weird one?
You know, I think that I am looking forward to... Like, I think here's my impression of what turning 40 is going to be like for me personally.
Okay.
Atlanta, we've worked together for a while. You know me. I really love to hang out.
Yeah. Oh, you love. We'll get into that. You love a good hang.
I love a good hang. I'm an extrovert. I need hanging out like a vampire needs blood, and so mm-hmm. I think by doing like a very standard amount of hanging out. Let's say. You know, a couple of bar hangs a month, a couple of dinners, maybe a live music here and there. I think I'm going to be like upper tier fun in my friend group.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be like, he's fun. I hope I'm considered fun in my friend group. But I think that now that everyone is kind of like hopping over 40, I think my standard level of fun guy is going to be considered... very fun guy.
Jordan, you know I gotta be honest with you, because we've been hanging out, I mean, up, our old sketch team at UCB. You guys were some of the first friends I made out
right,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember we used to always go to Hartzler's and hang out?
Oh, yeah, Hartzler's. Hartzler had a good hang pad. Joe Hartzler.
Good hang pad. He was right in the middle of all of us. He had the perfect hang pad.
Right.
Enough couch space to accommodate everybody. Really.
What I associate with that time is mm-hmm. the drink Bud Light Platinum. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
do you remember Bud Light Platinum? And do you associate them with that sketch group?
Because in
like
the sketches, yes. Because it would always be like if there was a sketch that involved beer or a party or something,
right.
And you know the writers would go get props. It was always a Bud Light Platinum. Always. That was like the yeah. gag of our whole team.
Yeah, this is a, I think, discontinued Bud Light variant that was supposed to be, I think the qualities were smoother and it had a higher alcohol by volume
smoother.
Percentage and then a general smoothness. So I think that...
I never had one, so I can't...
Did you never have one?
I've had like six beers in my whole life.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Not
Let's
much
list
of a,
them. Let's
I
list
drink.
The six beers.
Okay, three of them were Coronas.
Okay. Good call. Honestly, it's all downhill from there.
It's all downhill.
Yeah, don't feel like you need to sample other beers. If it's good enough for Vin Diesel and the Fast Crew, it's good enough for you.
One of them was a cider.
Okay.
But I'm counting that as a beer.
You can do that.
And then the other two were mixed into this like punch at a fraternity house that I went on a date with a couple years ago. I went on a date with a whole fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And
Everybody? Like everyone in the fraternity?
Yeah, okay. It was a date, group date.
That sounds
fun. And they made this like weird concoction that had like beer, Gatorade, booze. Like it was called Betarade.
Classic beta house.
I mean, truly. Oh my God. That was a wild night. My only goal was to get everybody's shirts off. And I got quite a few shirts. Hell I carried a bag around of them.
Oh, so you were not only having them take the shirts off, but you were collecting the shirts and taking them home?
I was collecting the shirts.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
So you have a lot of from that night you have a lot of like, you know, shirts that say like Budweiser King of Rears or something. Just a lot of like
all of my shirts had already said that, so I donated those ones.
Oh, great.
I already had enough shirts that said that.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a Goodwill somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, those are the six beers to go off on our tangent.
That's
but
great.
Yes, we've been hanging out.
Yeah,
that time reminds us of Bud Light Platinum. We've been hanging out for a long mm-hmm. time. Here's why you're good. You're a yes man. If there's a location too, or we're going to this bar, or it's a bit of a drive or whatever, you're down.
I love a second location. It's so every time you have a night and you go to two places, it always feels like a success to me.
Well, it's if you can have fun at both, because me, it's hard to get me to a location two. But sometimes location two is just somebody's house after the night at the bar. And sometimes those are the most fun events because it's only you and like for you. And you guys have a bonding experience that like
and
cannot be
and
recreated.
That's when you get into it. Is there a God? Do you talk to your parents? Do you want kids? That's when the real shit comes out at the second location, usually Joe Hartzler's house.
I used to be so good at second locations, Joe's being the main one.
Right.
I used to be really good at going to them, but then I feel like I made the mistake of going to a second location that was still a public place, and that's where it started to blow up in my face. Because if you get to a bar, say you meet with friends for a drink at like 8 mm-hmm. after dinner or whatever, right? You're drinking, you're having fun, you're whatever. By the time you get to location 2, everybody, say it's like 11, between 11 and 12.
Right.
Everybody in that bar is already their version of drunk, mm-hmm. which is not the same version of drunk in the bar that you just came from.
Right.
So it feels like you're like getting everyone at their worst.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of the night, you're getting everyone at their best. Everyone's on best behavior. And then you're walking into the mess. That's my opinion.
Sure.
Now, I've had times where the bar was the pop off, like you're going to be when you're 40, mm-hmm. popping off. But sometimes it's more like someone in their 50s, a snooze.
Sure. Yeah. I hear you. And yeah.
I'm just kidding about people in their 50s. I have no clue.
Yeah. Flirty 50s, I've heard.
People are flirting from 30 on.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people don't start flirting until 30.
That's what I heard. Is that people get real friendly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Go on.
Yes. So I think I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to things staying the same. Not letting 40 dictate how I behave. I still want to do the things I like. I still want to like. I don't know. I still want to grab life. You know, I don't want to settle into, you know, Netflix and staying in every night. There's a whole big world out there, you know?
Okay, Jordan, how much of you feels this way because you don't have kids?
Boy, I mean, fucking great question. Yeah, I know. And that's definitely something that I feel self-conscious about, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, as I kind of like look at my peers, like some of them, you know, like a lot of them are married and have kids, not an unreasonable thing to expect a 40-year-old to do, not weird. And, you know, some of them have houses, some of them have Teslas, some of them have vacation houses. I have none of these things. And it's definitely something that I am like, I do have to fight a little bit mentally to feel okay about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have to, like, really really, you know, as far as the material stuff goes, your houses, your vacation houses, your Teslas, I have to like really think about how happy that would actually make me. And
well, think about what you have to do to get that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Keep
sure.
doing and maintaining to keep all that stuff. So right. suddenly what used to be fun has become quite a bit of work.
Yeah. Is that home ownership, you know, a monkey on your back, a millstone around your neck, whatever.
Are the kids worth it?
Sure. I don't know. They could. A lot of kids are getting hooked on drugs these days. You have a little drug addict in the house.
That's my problem, is that those drugs are going to cost me a lot of money.
Right. Yes. And if you're a good parent, you'll.
I got mouths to feed. I got kids to smoke. Yeah, I got lots sure. going on.
I have kids that want to rage at Coachella, so obviously they need shrooms.
Yeah, somebody has to give them a ride. That's gas. That's
yeah. Poof, boy, and I'm feeling the pain at the pump. I don't know about you.
Pain at the pump.
But
okay, go on.
But as far as the material stuff, I kind of have to like, okay, like you might like to have that, but also how day to day, how happy would that make you? How much would it change mm-hmm. your happiness? Maybe not a lot. And as far as the like kids, marriage. Type stuff goes like that's stuff that I want. It has not happened for me yet, but it does not mean it cannot. I realize there's an infuriating aspect to a man saying, I'm 40, I can have kids whenever I want to. All of your women listeners, I'm sure, are mad. And I get that. I give you permission to be mad. That is fine. But I think it is that that's not off the table for me, and I can work
not
to
even
it, and
close.
That can yeah. still be a goal, so I think it's tough. It's tough to like, and I'm sure this is something you experience with like the entertainment industry, and your goals are like, how can I want something? How can I make something my goal, but also not let it make me miserable when I don't have it?
Oh my God, this is what hinges everybody's self-esteem right here.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean, it's like, yeah, how do you go after something, get something, and then remember that that was what you wanted and it's good that you got it.
Right, yeah.
Like, and keep and be like, okay, this is, we're good. It's really hard to do that.
I totally
just
is.
Had this conversation with a friend about how hard it is to stay in that moment.
Yeah, and it really is. And if you are like an ambitious person, which I know that you are, and you probably have a ton of creative stuff you want to do, and that is me as well. And some of it I have yep. done, and a lot of it I haven't done. And yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing. It's like how do you keep that ambition? How do you keep like working super hard to do the stuff you want to do, but also just like on a random Tuesday when things are slow, how do you not be miserable? It's tough. It's really mm-hmm. tough.
It's also hard too, because it's like, I don't know, at least I find for me, like, the not having kids aspect right now
right.
is instantly making us more fun.
Sure.
Because we can say yes to more things. Mm-hmm. So we can work on your schedule for right. the person with kids. Right. But the hard part is that it's making it less fun for me, because most of them have kids, and I'm like, well,
right.
I'm just waiting around on your sitter.
It does.
Like, you know what I mean? So it does have its like perks and downfalls. It's like, do I think you're going to be the 40-year-old that pops off and is like ultimate fun? Yes, because you've always been fun. We've traveled together and had a blast.
Shucks, that means
we've
a lot. Thank
had
you.
A blast here. Oh my God, of course, Jordan. I was so thrilled you would come do the podcast. I always have a great time chatting with
I'm
you. You're really
asked.
Good at getting
happy
into
to
it.
Be asked.
You're great. You're great at getting into things. Okay. Like, even when I saw you at BugCon, it's like, we had a great catch up, telling me all about, right? We're talking about work, all the stuff you were working on, so excited, and just general catching up. And I'm like, you're one of those people, you're very bubbly, you're fun to be around, and you make people feel good.
Shucks, thank you.
But you're dependent on other people to pop off, because you can't pop off without a crowd there.
Sure.
So it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, fuck. Like, everyone's in their vacation home.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if you've experienced
what
this.
What a weird problem to have.
I don't know if you've experienced this, but, and yeah, something we all deal with is the FOMO, is the everybody's hanging out without me. But yes. Something I think you, you realize as a person with who doesn't have kids, and then also alternately as like a person who isn't married. I know you are married, but there are group vacations you don't get invited to. It's like there's the we all have kids vacation, and we're all like splitting a sitter, or the kids can like play with each other, and I think they just don't think to invite the childless people because there's a little self-consciousness on their part. It's like, oh, I don't want these childless people to have to like put up with my kids who can be a handful.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I think more often than not, they're like trying to save us.
Right. And it is a very considerate thing to do.
But a vacation's still a vacation, and it's fun.
And an ask is still an ask, even if you can't go.
I had a friend I called to ask her if she wanted to come to the basketball game, knowing she wouldn't be able to because she had to kind of play it safe for this other trip she had going. But she said, she was like, but thanks so much for asking. That means a lot. And I'm like, of course I'm always going to ask you. I love you so much. Of course I want to hang out with you. I'm going to ask you. But I understand like somebody making the judgment for you that, oh, they probably wouldn't want to go. Like that assumption. And that kind of hurts because then you're like, well, did they even think of me?
Yeah, I know. Right.
How do I know unless you tell me? Exactly. How do I know unless you tell me?
And yeah, totally. And there's also the version of that, like where all the couples go on vacation together and then you see it on Instagram. You're like, well, these are all my friends. And yeah, you know, and you kind of like want to go to that. So it's tough. But and I feel it from my end, too. I guess my version of that is just a concrete example. Some friends and I went out to Pappy and Harriet's in Joshua Tree. Have you been to a show there?
Yeah, I went with Holly. She took me to Joshua Tree for my birthday a couple years ago.
Great birthday.
Yeah, and we went to Pappy and Harriet's and we took a cute little photo outside the way you do.
Exactly. You gotta. Beautiful.
You gotta get the photo.
If the listener hasn't been, it's this beautiful outdoor venue in Joshua Tree, which is this kind of gorgeous desert outside of LA. And it's this, great outdoor venue. And they have Christmas lights and very like cool stony bands play there. And it's just like, it's the whole thing set up for Instagram. It's every band sounds great. I always have a great time. So some friends and I were going out there. We have a buddy who has a house out there, so we were all going to stay. And I knew some friends with kids who probably wanted to go, and I invited one or two of them. They couldn't go, but I definitely didn't invite everybody who had kids, just because I'm like, well, this is like a weird mission. We don't know how long we're going to be gone. We're going to like start day drinking at a certain point. And I just know that they probably won't want to be available. But in the spirit of this conversation, I think what we've stumbled upon is just ask them.
Just ask.
Yeah.
It'll mean so much more.
I think so
if
too.
You just ask.
Yeah.
Like I blasted this tweet. This was, I think, like last year or something, a while back, saying, I will do anyone's podcast. And I ended up doing 27 podcasts.
Whoa.
Most of them involving me watching a movie.
Okay.
I just kept saying yes because I was like, you know, if someone's going to go out of their way to, first of all, I had the time. This was like pandemic height when we were all still kind of trapped inside, whatever. So,
like getting to do a podcast, you like look forward to that all week. It's like, ooh, on Wednesday, I'm going to get to podcast.
Oh my God. Because I was like, oh good. Here's my show for the week. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Of like, you're doing this podcast. Great. See if you can entertain these strangers you've never met before.
Yeah.
Cause it was all people like I didn't really know.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
interesting.
I had such a good time. It was people asking out of the blue that have heard me on other podcasts or maybe heard my own. And it was so nice. It really built my confidence. I had a good time. One of the podcasts, I went back and did it two more times.
Oh, nice.
Because
That's great.
I had such a good time and I just was like, oh, these guys are great. I love these guys.
Yeah.
And I had such a blast, but it's like, you don't know unless you ask. I mean, I didn't do all of them because not everything was quite up my alley, but it's like, guess what? Some of them I did. And I've asked people and taken a risk and they're like, yeah, totally. And you're like, oh, okay. That worked.
Yeah. And I know what you mean too. I had a graphic novel that I co-wrote come out last year, and because, you know, height of pandemic, there were no book events, there were no Comic-Cons, so really like podcasting was like the way that we had to get the word out about the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a similar like, who's got a show? I'll do it. And then there's that thing of like, yes, this is really great and fun, but also like, okay, for this one, I have to watch every Star Wars prequel. And for this one, I have to read a Hardy Boys book. And then I like the podcast with topics. When they stack up, you really can feel that workload.
Well, it's very time consuming.
Sure.
It's fun, but you got to take notes. Like when you're watching a movie one.
Right. Yeah.
You need the examples to back what you have to say. So it's like, I'm watching it. You have to have examples and you have to be like ready with the fun quotes. You got to be ready. Or you're not going to be a good guest.
See, this is what you're clearly a good guest. You know how to play these things. Yeah.
It's respect. It's like one of the things when I advertise my podcast, like, or not advertise, I'm like pitching it to somebody to come do it, is I'm like, no prep. And I'm like, that's going to work in my favor. People are like, oh, no prep. An hour? Sounds good. Much easier.
Right. Are you sure I don't have to watch a season of Designing Women? Because I will. I will
you,
watch a season of Designing Women.
If you
want
to know what it
means
to have real confidence, yeah, I suggest you do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I'd be thrilled. I did have to review one of them was, remember that show, that cartoon, The Critic?
I do remember The Critic. I was a big Critic fan.
That was the most interesting one. I reviewed an episode of that. And I was like, I loved this show. I was like, I'm down to do this. And I watched it and I was like, oh man.
Some of
it really held up.
Yeah, probably a bunch of like movie parodies from the 90s that you don't quite remember what they were referencing anymore. But
I was into it. I was really into it.
No,
okay,
I liked that show.
So Jordan.
Yes.
This was the answer to the first question, which is what are you most looking forward to of turning 40? So it was popping off socially, being that guy.
Keeping my fun levels consistent.
Maintain.
Yes,
exactly.
Maintaining fun levels. Yes.
Yes. What would you say you're least looking forward to?
Yeah.
Not as fun of a question, but I'm curious.
No, but I think that's what you're trying to do here is like, let's go on the journey. There's highs, there's lows. Let's not ignore any of it. Let's plumb these depths.
It's all relevant.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I turn 40, I will probably have to work harder. And this is probably all just stuff that my brain is doing to me. Self-imposed stuff that my brain is doing to me. I think I will have to work harder, like, emotionally and self-care-wise to fight off those I'm not doing it right feelings when they creep into your brain.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, because just there's... we're joking about it now, and I think just today, the day we're recording this podcast, I'm in a pretty good place with I think my career's doing okay, and you know, maybe I don't have the Tesla, but that's okay, you know. But that shit, you know, some as you know, in this business of show of ours, some stuff can be going great on Monday, and then on Wednesday it's all fucking gone and it's not happening anymore, and you thought you had a contract, but you don't, and your health insurance runs out in 2 months. So,
yes.
So that could happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but you know, it happens, and sometimes it's out of your control because a fucking parent company gets sold to another conglomerate and your thing goes away. So yeah, just kind of like when that stuff happens, I probably will have these moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking 40 and I still rent an apartment and I am not going anywhere and I'm going to die in obscurity, you know?
It's just such a high pressure place to be in when you start tacking on expectations with age.
Totally.
It's one thing if you say in a career, I want to sell a TV show. Okay.
Right.
That's the statement. I want to sell a TV show by the age of 40. Well, that.
Right.
What if it was to be sold at the age 41?
Sure, exactly.
You have not accomplished your goal because you said 40.
So like, you fucked up.
So you fucked up. Like we made it so hard on ourselves. And when I've gone into conversations like this before with like people with really specific goals, myself included,
sure,
I have to remind myself, I just made up the number.
Right,
I said, well,
exactly.
By 40,
it means
I just
nothing.
Fucking it made
means
it
nothing.
Up.
Yeah.
It means nothing. Whereas the goal means something. The age doesn't, but the goal means something.
Right.
At any age. You can't control the age. That's coming no matter what. But the project itself, you can control quite a bit of it mm-hmm. as to how hard you work, how much you put into it, who you're getting it in front of. Like, just are you doing everything you can on your end, right? Age happens regardless.
Right.
But, like, the goal and the work to get there, it's like, this is the choice. And
yeah.
to me, I'm like, that's what I want to focus on. Because I'm doing the same thing. By this age, I should
it's
have had
tough.
This. And I
yeah,
have this.
It's really tough. Yeah. And people ask, you know, and people phrase it in those terms. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
Exactly.
Like it's just a way we frame stuff. It's a way we talk about stuff. And yeah, it can be helpful in some ways. And yeah, when you're doing well, it feels good. It's like, hey, here's mm-hmm. I'm 40 and this is a list of my accomplishments and here's what I'm proud of, and that can feel really good. But also just like how the flip side is that sometimes it can contribute to that negative self-talk that can be so devastating in the wrong time.
Well, if you say where do you want to be in 5 years, right, what did everybody answer that with 3 years ago? Did
right.
anyone say a pandemic?
Yeah, geez, like, that's totally true.
I don't think so. I don't think so. So I'm not saying you can't try to visualize something or see yourself in a certain position, but even that, it's like, where do I want to be in 5 years? I don't know. I don't even know all the neighborhoods in LA. Maybe I won't even be in LA at all. Maybe I'll be somewhere else because something
sure.
even better happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was more money or
right.
someone cooler or something, whatever, a different field. I have no fucking clue. So I appreciate the focus of that question and how it's causing you to have to think of like goals and plans and stuff like that. But sometimes I find it so restraining.
Yeah, totally.
And like, I can't breathe. Like I have a hard time answering that. Cause I'm like, I don't fucking know, dude. I didn't know I was going to be here right now. And I'm not thrilled about it. Five
yeah.
years ago, I didn't say I'm going to be miserable in 5 years. What about you fucks?
Sure.
Like, I don't think so. And if somebody
gonna
did answer that,
I'm going to be kind of bummed. I'm going to be really
yeah,
into Family Feud. I'm going to have a cat that I talk to too much. Yeah.
I'm good. I have a dog I fight with nonstop. You
sure.
should see this dog while Norm's out of town. Oh my God.
Oh man.
We are not meant to be close friends.
You and the dog. Is this a dog
yes.
that you got together, or is this a dog you like inherited through the relationship?
We got together, rescued a dog, but she just latched onto Norm. Did you
yeah.
see the movie Twilight where the wolf latches?
I have not, but
Jordan,
I can probably envision what. No, I'm sorry. I need to catch up. I'm behind.
Let's
on my
stop recording.
Do I start at the beginning? Is there one that's
or
better than the other one?
Do we get you, or do we get you on a Twilight podcast so that you have to watch
God,
the whole saga?
Honestly, that is how you would get me to watch it. Is like, okay, you have to go on the Twilight recap podcast, and you have to take
I
notes, and you have to think
a
of
challenge.
Three. I know. Right. Yes, I have to.
I'd be thrilled.
I would totally. I would. It's one of those things where it's like it. It's like it was such a huge cultural thing. And I think about
yes.
this a lot in terms of every time I see 50 Shades of Grey pop up on a streaming service, I'm like, this was such a punchline for so long. I have no idea what goes into this. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, granted, you know, you're like, well, maybe it'll be a little sexy and I can enjoy that aspect of it. But also as a creative person, you want to have these references and you want to know what everyone's talking about. So, yeah, I feel like it is irresponsible that I have not watched at least one Twilight.
I appreciate this public apology.
It is. It's public. I'm sorry. I've fallen short. I'm going to take this time to reflect and grow and listen.
Thank you.
And I just
want to be heard.
Yeah.
That's it. And I have 5 movies to do that. No, I think it's 6 movies, maybe.
Wow. Okay. Have you
clear the
day? Are you a Twilight person?
Big fan. Went
okay.
and saw every movie in theaters
wow.
twice.
Wow. Okay.
Loved the movies.
And
what
okay.
happens is the wolf
like imprints on someone.
Yeah, so it's just like you see them and then you know right away that it's like, oh, we will be together.
Right.
And it's kind of weird because Taylor Lautner, the wolf, mm-hmm. you know him, the actor, right?
I do, yeah. I know him primarily
really
from his 30 Rock cameos.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So he imprints on Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson's daughter when she's young.
Okay.
But imprints in the way that it's like, when you turn 18, then we will be together. But it is really weird.
Yeah, sure.
And like, kind of like he's her protector, but also secretly in love with her. Because when you see the vision of her older, she's a knockout.
Right.
I'm like, of course you're in love with her. This is fucking, you know what I mean? We saw this happen. This is the Celine Dion of our time. This old guy's coming in here. He's claiming it, and early.
Old Wolfie. Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I know that, like I'm sure a big, you know, a big portion of the audience for these is teenagers, and when you're a teenager, you probably do have that fantasy that, like, oh, this sophisticated older lycanthrope is going to take a liking to me because I'm an old soul. But yeah, maybe as when you are a kid, you don't realize that maybe that's in real life, that might be a little icky and inappropriate, but.
I was a fully grown adult, and I'm just piecing this together now.
Sure, yeah.
For the first time, this is hitting me like a ton of bricks.
Oh boy! Listen. Not all of our favorite entertainment sets the best example. And
okay, wait, Jordan, because we've been talking a lot about reflecting on where we're not right. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's like we were kind of talking about that of like. Oh, I'm 40 and I haven't done this or I don't have right? Something you're not looking forward to, something I'm not looking forward to. But is there any moments that you're able to have where you can stop and look at the resume of life as is and be like, oh, look at me, I've done something and good for me, I've done it?
Oh, totally. And I've been trying to do a lot of that lately. That's like been a big part of my, like, let's be okay with turning 40 like regimen. So yeah, I mean, I mentioned co-writing a graphic novel, and that is just like, when I think about that, when I see that fucking book on my shelf or when I see it in a bookstore, I co-wrote a graphic novel called Bubble. I wrote with a great writer named Sarah Morgan. Tony Cliff, a very brilliant comic book artist and Canadian, did the art, and a great colorist named Natalie Reese did the colors. And I was just like, will surprise no one that's ever talked to me for 5 seconds, but I was a big comic book kid. I'm still a big comic book reader, and like getting to do one, and I'm getting to do more, and I'm really excited about that. It's like it's so fucking amazing. And I would have, like, if I got to tell 11-year-old me that it was going to happen, like, it would be so, it's amazing that it happened, and I need to, like, feel a little bit of joy every day for it, because it's been such a fun thing. And, like, listen, nobody's getting rich from making comic books, but you make a little cash off it, and it's fun, and people like it, and I'm very proud of it, and it's like, it's kind of something that's kind of linked to that's like felt good to think about, is like, I think in this time that I've been pursuing like writing and comedy, I think at this point I am a pretty good writer, and I have stuff I need to work on, and I have like crutches, and I have lazinesses, and I have stuff that I still don't understand, but I'm like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I think I've done some pretty good work. And I think I can look back on stuff that I've done recently and go like, this was good. And I like, and stuff I'm doing, and I'm like, this is going to be good, and I can like critique it. But you know, I don't look at, you know how like you look on, I don't know if you did in college, you did like student films or student plays or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you look back, I mean, at least I look back on that stuff, I'm like, oh God, what a fucking twat I was, you know? But yeah, I feel like I'm at
Not me, I look back and say some of my best work.
but I can like look at stuff I did and go like, that was pretty good. I have some notes, but I can feel good about that, and I think there's something in it.
That is such a relief.
Yeah,
it's such a relief to hear. Feeling.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, especially if you're in this like reflective state, it's not fair to just reflect on the negative. It's
right.
Like you owe yourself to reflect on the positive as well. If you're gonna reflect to the whole thing, as opposed to just the detrimental one and then stopping. And listen, it's important to take a look at one's life and critique it.
Yeah,
like you said, you did absolutely. With some of your work. It's important to do that because maybe you do need to ask yourself, like, I'm 40 and I've still never had a job. Okay, well,
right.
You know what I mean? Maybe you do need a slap in the face, right? Maybe you do need someone to kind of shake you awake and you need that reality check. So it's definitely important to be able to do it, but it's just like, I'm so sick and tired of this fear of complacency when you can take a moment of admiration or be in a moment of awe of your own career, your own successes, it, personal or professional. If you're like, I used to be really, like for me personally, I couldn't enter or exit a room without storming in or out. I mean, this was the only way I thought you could enter or exit a room was huge. And in a fight with somebody. And I was able to stop doing that. So I'm like, good for you, Elena, you did it. You know what I mean? I'm like, you got to give something even as small as that. So you had mentioned earlier about self-care, right? So what I want to know, and you said also you're turning 40 regimen.
Yes.
What would you say are a few of the tools that you're using or thoughts that you're having or mantras you're telling yourself that's like, really helping you invest back in you so that when you do turn 40, you can be your best version of yourself?
Yeah. I mean, cold take, but therapy. Oh,
love it.
When I look at my pre-therapy self and my post-therapy self, I'm like, Jesus Christ, who was that guy? So yeah, I'm very glad that I did it. Obviously, I am not perfect, and I still fall short, and I still do stuff that I wish I didn't, and I'm still working on stuff. But I think I'll give myself a pat or two for coming a long way with therapy. I've been doing it for more than 10 years now, and I think it's been great, and it's really 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 changed how I live, and I think I. Definitely if you are listening, not to stump too much, but if it's something you're considering, check it out. I think it really could help.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just like making sure to like keep doing that even when you're having a good week. And that's can be a little tough for me is like sitting down to that therapy session when I'm like, things are good. I don't have much to talk about, but still like this is upkeep. It's maintenance. You still got to do it. So like keeping that going and like it's dumb that this works and I don't like it, but regular exercise, something that I neglected for a long time and definitely like you notice it when you get older and you're like, fuck, this does get your brain to shoot endorphins out and it makes you feel good. And so,
I know it's so annoying.
I don't like it, but
I know it's like. And I picked up yoga during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah,
and,
okay.
I really like it. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels good. Every time I do it, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
I never want to do it.
Yeah, sure.
And when I do it, I'm like, good for you, Elena. You did it. And I'm really, it makes me really happy. But when I think about or talk about doing yoga, I'm like, Elena, you deserve better than this in life. you deserve better than having to work out in order to feel good. You should just wake up and be able to feel good right away.
Your brain should just start shooting endorphins at you and not stop.
I seem to think I should be the exception and that I should only feel good at all times.
And that's, it's a thing. It's like, find something you like or find something you know works for you. And if you hate something, you can stop doing it and find one that you do like. So that's those things have been really good for me, and like, but also noticing stuff like, what does drinking do to me? I enjoy going out and having a drink, but like, just realizing two drinks, good, four drinks, your next couple of days are going to be worse. Not just like,
my face can't handle it.
Yeah,
I can only puff up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Things are getting out of hand. The fact that I even have my video on right now is a miracle.
Sure. You look terrific. Skin's flawless.
Oh my God, because I have this beautiful natural lighting on me. Thank you.
I mean, that's
I'm right in front of a window.
But just like taking stock of that stuff, and it's like, okay, like how much of this is fun and how much of it will be a detriment to me later. I mean, none of that is like... interesting or new, but it is stuff that like I have been thinking a lot about and trying to.
It's stuff you're doing.
Consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it is interesting because it's interesting to see someone do something and then it just works. So you can just copy it and right. see if it works yeah, for yeah. you as well. Like, it's how often in careers is everyone like, well, how did they get that? Well, how did they get that? Well, how did right. they get that? And then I'm like, well, they took this class, they did this, and then they did this. See if it works for you if you feel sure. lost and don't have any sense of direction. And it's like, that's how I feel right now in getting older. I'm like, okay, well, what is everyone that's older around me doing that seems to be living a way that I think is suitable?
Yeah.
How's everybody still looking so good? Okay, guess what the answer is? One, Botox. Okay, I'm not going to sure. get Botox yet. right. I might. But two, creams. Okay, creams yeah. I can get into. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you have a skincare routine?
I use a Cetaphil or a store brand Cetaphil compared to Cetaphil.
Do you use a moisturizer?
No, I don't. But I'm
you need a moisturizer.
I've been told it's key. I need to watch Twilight. Get
and
a moisturizer
while you do
okay.
it.
We'll moisturize while I watch Twilight.
Every morning when you moisturize and every night, put the movie on in the background. You can watch the movie over the next 5 years.
Okay.
You put your
watch
creams
8 minutes
on.
A night.
Oh, no. Cream sometimes only takes about a minute.
Oh, great.
So
okay, sure.
You need that quick flash of what's happening on the TV.
I'll cream up. I'll be through the credits by the end of the month.
You got to cream up.
You
I'm
must,
telling
you
right now. You
must cream up.
You must cream up.
We're getting older.
Cream up. We're losing the elasticity
right.
in our skin.
You're
and
right.
You look good now, but Jordan, at a moment's notice, it could all fall.
Exactly. Like your show business job, you're so excited about it. It could all be
exactly.
fucking gone next week.
But what if I told you?
So you got to cream
a
up.
A cream could fix one of them.
Yeah, I mean, well,
and
I would
it's
say
the Hollywood job.
How do I get this cream? How much does this cream cost?
Well, you can get it at the store, mm-hmm. so it's really cheap.
Great, amazing.
And any cream you use, Cetaphil has a nice regular facial cream.
Do they? Because I like the brand. I mean, obviously, I use the store brand sometimes, but
same thing. They'll okay. have it. That's fine. Don't even worry about right. that. I go for the sale. Guess what?
Yeah.
Let the numbers lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I do it? Because when something's buy one, get one 50% off, I'm like
yeah.
at Rite Aid, right?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Gets
I'm always like, well, I basically have
time.
To.
Yeah.
So I'm
you
always.
You have to get the other one.
I go for the deal quite simply so mm-hmm. I get more products because I'm so happy to be getting the products mm-hmm. and I just need an excuse.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not just going to buy two products because I'm like, Lana, you only came in for one. You got to be reasonable right now.
Too many products. There's only so much.
There's just too many.
There's only
products.
So much room in the bathroom for products.
And I have so much passion yeah. about those products.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, can you just tell us a little bit about what the graphic novel's about?
Sure, absolutely. It
without
is,
spoiling anything, but tell us.
Yes,
tell us a bit
I
about
can.
It.
So it is based on a, and I'm also very, very. It's based on a narrative podcast that I'm also very, very proud of. It's called Bubble. It aired on the Maximum Fun Podcasting Network. It is a sci-fi comedy with some satirical elements about a bunch of kind of goofy, ill-equipped hipsters in a kind of near future world where everybody lives in a bubble city and there's these monsters outside trying to get in and they have to all be part of this kind of life and death gig economy to survive. And yeah, it's yeah, it's all the stuff that I kind of like. It's sci-fi in its genre, but it's also lots of jokes. And yeah, it was one of the most fun things I've ever done. Make the comic and the podcast. So yeah, and it's out there and it's still available wherever you get your books or comic books.
What was the coolest place to see the book available at? Because you said you'd see it in stores. So what to you was like,
oh
yeah. shit, this is real?
I mean, just like being at the mall with my mom and it's in a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well.
Totally. It's
something
really
that your
exciting.
Mom could recognize. Because
yep. yep.
then you're like, well, it must be mainstream if my fucking mom
exactly.
knows about it.
Yeah, and I think that's something we struggle with as creative mm-hmm. people at our at, you know, who play in our spaces, is that if you're not on Saturday Night Live, sometimes your parents assume you're not working.
Well, this is why parents love commercials.
Yeah.
Because then all their friends see it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everyone, huge. And they treat it like it's a movie.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing, not everyone's going to go see a movie, but everyone's going to see the commercial.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's why my mom was so happy. Her favorite job that I've booked since I've been here was this, the maybe you saw it, the old cell phone game show, I Want My Phone Back.
Yeah. Oh, phones. Those were great. Those were great.
Yeah. Thank you. So we did the first season of it. And then when we got renewed, it was with Facebook. Facebook bought it.
Yeah.
And my mom went mental with joy because then my aunts all saw it. And then my cousins all saw it. And they all watched it. And then they would all contact my mom. All my mom's friends, teacher friends saw it. And because it was on Facebook. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it would come up in the advertisement.
Yeah.
So it was like a real, but like the show had already been out. I told her about the whole first season and sent it to her to watch and she didn't watch it once. But like Facebook is what really did it.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. One of the first things I did when I came to LA was I got cast in a local commercial for the local weather, for the NBC4 weather cast with Fritz Coleman. Who I think does not do the NBC4 weather anymore, but I think did for a year. I mean, he was our weatherman growing up. So I got $100, which I think I didn't even get. I think the job paid $100, and it's just one of those things where they don't pay you, and then you get tired of calling them.
For the $100.
For the $100.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So anyway, so I think I got this was a $100 job where I think I didn't even get the $100. But this weather commercial for like a year just ran and ran and ran. And yeah, it was such a thrill for my family.
Jordan, do you want me to give you $100?
No, listen, I'm doing okay. I don't need your... listen, you've given me so much already. You've given me so many wonderful gifts over the course of our friendship and this conversation.
$100 offer? Yeah.
You know, I'm good.
Jordan, you are a treat to be friends with. You are a great writer.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to
say. We used to have such a blast working. Oh, the whole crew of us, though. The group of all the guys and the gals too in the old writers' room there.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Was a blast.
Yeah,
it was so fun to be able to do all that. I miss it.
Me too.
I miss it.
Me too. Definitely. And do you what sorts of? So you still do like live performance and sketch and stand up and stuff like that?
Yeah. Oh, have I got a show for you to come to if you're interested?
I would love to. I love to come. You know me. I love to go to things.
I know. You're good.
If this is if the show is a second location, I am super there. If I can go to a location
There will be a second location.
Amazing.
Because the show's at Dynasty Typewriter.
Great.
May 19th.
Love it there.
At 7:30. We'll be done at 8:30, 8:45 at the latest because we're each doing our half hours. And then we'll have to go somewhere to get a drink. So there will be a location too.
This is at least a two-location night.
At least a two-location.
I am actually going to write it down.
Tell me, I'll be at the second one.
May 15th?
May 19th. 19th, Thursday, Dynasty Typewriter. Okay. For everybody listening in LA, please come out. It's the Johnson & Weld show. It's what we've been touring with.
Awesome.
So it's been super fun. Beth Stelling's directing. I've been talking a lot about the tour
podcast. This is Mo Welch?
Mo Welch.
She's so funny.
She is so funny. Oh my God. And we've been having such a good time. It's really like lifted me out of kind of a dark cloud I was in for a while at the beginning of the year. So it's been, I'm so grateful for it. And I'm so glad we're doing this big LA show so that everyone here that's been asking about it and so supportive can finally come see it because we've been busy traveling everywhere else.
Nice. No, that's great. And that's a great thing to... Like, it's a great lesson. It is very entertainment industry specific, but hopefully people can... Hopefully there's some universality to this of, like, in the times when, like, shit is slow, like, finding something that you really love to do that makes you happy and makes you feel like you're getting better at the thing you like doing. And, yeah, it's, like, it's stuff like that that, like... it's stuff like that that is, like... It's so important to like always be doing that, and it always feels good.
When I came back to do like to live performing or whatever, like after the pandemic, but after the initial part of the pandemic when everything shut down. So when stuff started to kind of, backyard shows were happening and a few things started to open again, right? I felt really rusty and it made me sad.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't good at doing the thing that I loved anymore. And then performing more and more, I'm feeling way better, way more confident. And I'm so happy because now I'm good at doing the thing I love again.
Yeah.
So to what you're saying, to your point, it's like, that's 100% true, where it's like, you got to do these things that you love as best as you can when you have the time to be able to do it. Because I understand, you know, not everybody has a schedule to be able to do everything. But man, the amount of self-care that is, because I needed confidence and I didn't know where to get it from. And turns out it was getting it from performing made me feel so good that I felt good in a lot of other aspects in my life as well. So I hope everybody can take time to like look in and at themselves and what really does bring them joy and ask if there's even a condensed version of that that they can do in the meantime until they can live that full dream or goal or like whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. It's so important to kind of like sit down and pinpoint the stuff that makes you feel good and like make sure to make time for it. Make sure to do it. And yeah,
and make a list. Important. Like for the listeners, make a list. I do that all the time.
Ugh, a list.
If you made a list of things, because there's not just one thing that's going to make you happy. So if you made a list of 10 things and it's a bad Tuesday you're having, you're telling me out of 10 things, you can't think of one potentially, like I said, condensed version of it. So for example, if you love movies, but you're really busy or you have to work, then just watch a trailer of a movie you're really excited to see. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be excited to see the movie when the movie's going to be coming out. Like that's a condensed version of something you could do sitting at your desk at work. You could do that. And it could like brighten your mood or go read like a, well, like your graphic novel. It's like, okay, great. You're like, you know, you're feeling down, you're feeling whatever. Go walk into a bookstore. It makes you happy to see it. Great. Go walk into a bookstore.
Yeah,
and you're like, great.
I know. It's,
here it is.
It has not, it has never ceased to feel super amazing. I still haven't seen it in a library yet. People have sent me photos of library copies, which is always really cool. But, I have not been able to catch it in my local library. So I'm hoping.
Oh, and you do go to your local library. Oh my God, that's so fun. Well, what about donating one?
Oh, I guess I could do that. I guess I could just walk one in and say like, put this on the shelf so I can see it.
Yeah, be like, I made this and I'd love to donate it to the library. I would totally do it.
Okay.
And you should like write something in it or something like that. I think it could be really cool. Like a note from the author. Thanks for reading.
Or do like a treasure map or something.
Oh my God, and it leads to my house?
Oh yeah.
Yes, Jordan.
A bunch of teenagers showing up at your house.
Oh my God, all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
Wow. Jordan, you started this podcast off at a 7.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling now? We got into a lot of hot topics.
We went to some places, but I think I have a lot to think about. I have a lot to reflect on. Watch the Twilight movies, cream up, make a list.
Hashtag cream up.
This is great. 10 out of 10.
Oh,
I'm
my
a 10.
God,
I'm gonna coast with this good feeling for the
oh my
the
God.
Rest of the day.
Well, you put me in a fantastic. I wasn't necessarily in a bad mood, but I was in a bit of a lost mood.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like today specifically, I was like, what am I even doing right now? I gotta figure some stuff
fold
out.
Something? Yeah, I know that feeling for sure.
Exactly. I like cleaned out the shed. I was like, I guess I better do the shed. But I was like, this was not necessary. I didn't need to do the shed. Mm-hmm. So I feel really good because I count this as work. So this was work.
It is,
that
totally.
Was really fun and catching up with a pal. So you've put me in just a fantastic mood and now I feel accomplished and I'm so happy you were a part of that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for asking. It was lovely to be asked. I think that's also something we learned on the shows. An ask feels good. And this has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Okay, where can we find you on social media so we can see, and you already told us where we can get your book, but so we can see stuff for the podcast
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. The book Bubble, I'll say the name once again. It is available wherever you get your books and comic books. And I do a chatty podcast called Jordan Jesse Go, and you can get that wherever you get your podcast, but also at MaximumFun.org. And at Jordan_Morris on Twitter, Jordan David Morris on Instagram.
If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana underscore Johnson on Twitter. This was truly a delight. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your